May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Did y'all have a good Halloween? More treats than tricks, I hope. Non-committal answer. Okay. Well, I don't know about y'all, but Halloween has always been one of my mostest favoritest holidays ever. As a child, I think for me, the appeal of getting to be someone else or something else for one special night might have been an even bigger deal than a plastic pumpkin full of chocolate and sugar. To me, that was the real magic of the holiday. For one night a year, the otherwise clear and concrete borderline between the real world and the world of make-believe would become a little less black and white, a little less etched in stone, a little bit more negotiable. For one night, the extraordinary would interrupt the ordinary. The supernatural and magical would break through into the natural everyday world. As I got older, I heard stories about where Halloween came from, that our modern celebration could supposedly be traced back to ancient Celtic harvest festivals like Samhain, which legend had it marked a time of year when the veil between the mortal world and the world of spirit grew thin, that the costumes and masks were supposedly first used to scare away any evil spirits that might break through that thin veil into our world. More on that in a minute. I also learned that the word Halloween is a mashing together of the words All Hallows' Eve, the church's name for the day before All Hallows' Day, or in contemporary English, All Saints' Day, which we are celebrating this morning on the first Sunday after November 1st, the official feast day in Western Christendom. Now, All Saints' Day is a feast that developed in the early church initially to commemorate the deaths of the martyrs. By the 4th century, sad to say, there were frankly just too many martyrs to commemorate each one on his or her own day. So the idea developed to have a single major feast for commemorating them all. And it is very meet and right that we commemorate the blessed martyrs. The English word martyr comes from the Greek word for witness. And the early Christians believed that to give one's life as a testimony to the faith, literally to die for Christ, was the highest form of witness to the truth of Jesus Christ, to the reality of the kingdom of God that anyone could give. And there perhaps is a connection between All Hallows' Eve, the popular holiday of Halloween, and All Saints' Day. The notion that there is a time or a season or a night of the year when the veil between worlds becomes thinner than it usually is, when things from the other side of that veil can perhaps peek into our normal, everyday, mundane world. That's still a compelling idea, I think. A time when the extraordinary might interrupt the ordinary, when the so-called supernatural might break through into the natural and mundane world. Now, modern Christians, particularly those of us who belong to mainline Protestant denominations, looking around at the faces I'm seeing right now, we're sometimes uncomfortable thinking about, much less talking about, the supernatural. I think that's unfortunate. I mean, if we take the supernatural, the mystical, the extraordinary, off the table, well, then what's the point of having a religion in the first place? So let me invite you to consider this, even if it makes us a little uncomfortable. The observance of All Saints' Day is about more than merely remembering in the past tense those brave Christians who gave their lives in witness and testimony to the truth of Jesus Christ. We observe this feast not only to remember the lives and deaths and testimonies of these saints, but also to make us particularly mindful on a particular day of what we should be mindful of every single time we gather to worship. Namely, that when we gather to worship, our assembly is made up of everyone we see around us and also everyone whom we do not see, yet who is still with us. All the martyrs, all the witnesses, all the saints who, along with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, continually bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. We, the body of Christ, are so much more than just what you see around you right now. This right here, our principal act of worship, is itself a time and a place when the extraordinary interrupts the ordinary, when the supernatural breaks through into the natural, when the veil between the world of our everyday ordinary experience and the eternal glory of God's everlasting kingdom becomes so thin that we on earth actually receive a taste of heaven. Talk about divine revelation. Speaking of divine revelation, y'all knew I was going to have to talk about revelation this morning, right? I mentioned, I think, in my All Saints sermon last year, that the Sufi poet and mystic Rumi once wrote that a saint is a theater wherein the properties of God may be seen. A saint is a theater that reveals the properties of God. So if we're talking about saints, we're talking about revelation. The Greek word for revelation is apocalypse. It literally means an uncovering. And in the first and second centuries, apocalyptic writing was a very popular type of literature. One reason that it was so popular is because its purpose, the reason it was invented, was to comfort people, to console them, reassure them, encourage them in times of great chaos and unrest and upheaval when people felt like they didn't have anything solid to hold on to in life. I don't know if anybody here can relate to that or not. Well, that's exactly why the book of Revelation was written. It was composed in the late first century in Roman-occupied Asia Minor, around the time of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the time of the emperors Nero and Domitian, an extremely hard time to be a Christian in the empire, speaking of martyrs. So the glittering, vivid images we get in Revelation of God's temple with the Lamb enthroned in the center and white-robed saints in perpetual worship about his throne, the symmetry of the symbols, the ordered numbers of angels and the elect, all of these things are meant to reassure the faithful as they suffer through the chaos and the uncertainties of their present world, that in the greater realm of God's reality, there is order, there is harmony, and there's a sure foundation. God's world stands in stark contrast to this world, says John in Revelation. God's ultimate reality, of which this world is but a pale, disordered, imperfect reflection, God's ultimate reality is pure and perfectly ordered. And that is the reality, glimpsed now perhaps only in a vision or a dream, but reality nonetheless, toward which everything in this present world is leading. That is the reality to which the martyrs gave witness at the cost of their lives. That is the reality that today's passage from Revelation proclaims. God's holy city is perfect and beautiful and ordered, and it's coming here. The new Jerusalem will not be in a remote heaven, but here, imminently here. And more than that, God is here. The home of God is among mortals, says our modern English translation. The Greek actually says that the tent of God is with human beings, hearkening all the way back to the Israelites' years of desert wandering, carrying the tabernacle of God with them. Once again, God will pitch God's tent among us, and death will be no more. Once again, the extraordinary will interrupt the ordinary. The supernatural and the divine will break through into our natural and mundane existence, and that's going to change everything. When we see that, it changes everything. This is what the saints have been revealing to us all along. The kingdom of God is at hand, and all things are being made new. So I invite you today to be mindful, as we come to this holy altar, of the company that we keep as we gather here, the blessed company of all faithful people. Be mindful of the saints, of all the souls that have been and are the body of Christ. Be mindful of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, in whose midst we kneel to receive this taste of the heavenly kingdom. Be mindful so that when you go forth from this place, you saints, you can bear faithful witness to what you have seen.